thank you, Lord, for the privilege of serving you. And we think about even the last song that was sung. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and use me. Use every part. And I just pray, Lord, that with each of us that know you as our own personal Savior, even listening to my voice, that, Lord, you might have every part of us, that we might serve you wholeheartedly. I pray tonight you would be glorified in our study in your word as we look. I pray, Lord, that our faith in you might grow. We need that, Lord. We think of how that the trials and the storms of life just continue to come. And we need ever to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of you. So we commit this to you. In your name I pray. Amen. I would like and then we're going to take a look at some other portions. Everything you need. This is Noah.
About that, Joel. I was getting the high sign. Nobody could hear me. Well, you could hear me, but it wasn't being recorded. But anyway, that's not all bad either, is it? Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. Who does that sound like a little bit? Maybe Hezekiah that we were looking at this morning. Well, it happens to be David, but they both knew the same Lord, didn't they? I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words or twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. They're always watching me. Hey, this sounds kind of relevant, doesn't it? Just some of the struggles that we have with some of our people that we have trouble getting along with. They twist my words. They say things, you know, what he said or she said. No, that's not right. They watch our steps, always looking for something to nitpick and accuse of. Shall they escape, verse 7, by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? What? I don't know. I don't know that I've heard anybody make reference to this in recent years. But what did the psalmist mean when he said here, put thou my tears into thy bottle? Anybody have a clue? The Israelite people used to have little bottles that they would actually put their tears into. They were tear bottles. And I'm not sure why they did that, if it was to remember sorrow that they had gone through or what, but this is what he's making. Put my tears in your bottle, Lord and God. Verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Your vows or your promises are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee For you have delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? A psalm that speaks of the psalmist's great trust in the Lord. If you look at the heading of this one, we find that this was written at a time when the Philistines had taken David in Gath, and what trust he speaks of, and what praise as he gives to the Lord of delivering him in the midst of his troubles. I want us to just think about this evening as, did I ever give you the title, Joel? I just turned my mic on, didn't I? You know, that's what happens. I am so limited in my ability to hold thoughts. He was giving me the signal to turn on your mic, and I forgot. I was just getting ready to tell you the title of this is Everything You Need. Did I say that? Well, good. Joel missed it. He's writing it down now. So there you go. I understand, Joel. But I want us to just think about the faithfulness and dependability of our God. And I want us to make note this evening of the confidence that God's people had in the face of danger to encourage us. I make reference to Hezekiah this morning. The example that we gave of him, his exemplary leadership in that message this morning. In the face of great difficulty and danger, we saw in 2 Chronicles 32, 7, and 8. We're not going to go back and look at that, but I just remind you, didn't Hezekiah express great confidence in the faithfulness of God? We don't need to be afraid. He's just a man, but God's on our side. And we're going to make it. I don't know whether you recognized some of the words that Hezekiah said as he spoke to the people. You know, it's not the first place or the first or the only time you find Hezekiah's message that he delivered to his people when he encouraged them, looking out over at least 185,000 surrounding the city of Jerusalem. And he said, fear not, there are what? There are more with us than with them. Did that ring a bell with anybody? You know, that's not the only time in the Bible that you find someone saying those very words. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings, the first part of this book, is the time of transition. It's the time when Elijah's ministry had come to a close. It was time for Elijah, here's something different, not to die, but to be translated. Elijah didn't die, did he? He was translated to heaven. And we find that translation or that transition taking place very early in the book of 2 Kings. And Elisha was the one that Elijah had been directed to anoint to take his place after he was translated into the heavens. And so once Elijah was gone, his successor, Elisha, was now the man that was on the scene and in the spotlight in these early chapters of 2 Kings. In chapter 6, we find that there was a time when Elisha was in a particular location, and we discover that the king of Syria hated Elisha because Elisha kept spoiling the plans of the king of Syria. The king of Syria. I'm getting my Syrias. We're in Syria this evening. We were in Assyria this morning. The king of Syria would make plans to attack Israel, and God would tell Elisha, here's what's going to happen. And Elisha would let God's people know, and they would be ready. And every time the king of Syria's plans failed, the people were ready for him. They would try surprise approach and this, that, and the other thing. And the Syrian king said, look, somebody is a snitch. Somebody on my team here is telling the enemy, the Israelites, what the plans are. Someone spoke up and said, it's not one of us, O king. It's the man of God, Elisha. He's telling people exactly what you have planned. And so the king of Syria said, then I'm going to stop him. And somebody said, well, he's in such and such a location. During that night, the Syrian king surrounded the region and the location where Elisha and his servant were at. And we find that Elisha's servant, it tells us, let's look at chapter 6, verse 14. There, they said he's in Dothan in verse 13. So verse 14, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, he got up early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. When Elisha's servant got up, he looked around and he discovered that during the night the Syrian army had surrounded the city. And everywhere he looked, there were horses, chariots, soldiers. In verse 15, he says, alas, my master, how shall we do? Notice Elisha's response. He said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. The interesting thing about this one is that we read on, and it says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Elisha, let him see what I know, what I can see through the eyes of faith here. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Wow, there was an angelic army surrounding and protecting Elisha and his servant. Elisha knew they were there, and he just said, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see what I know. Isn't that something? The confidence that God's people had in the face of danger. Another example of one of God's own expressing great confidence in the face of danger and trial. Just write down this reference, 1 Samuel 17, 45. We're not going to turn to it because you all know the story. There was a young shepherd boy who found himself out in the battlefield facing a giant of a man. And David's conversation with that giant has always been such a great encouragement. And part of what David said to that giant was this: you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, the God that you are defying. And he's going to deliver you into my hand, and I'm going to chop off your head. Whoa, that's great confidence in the Lord, isn't it? You say, well, he was hopeful. You know, he was just bragging. No, he wasn't bragging. God had given him that confidence. He had established a relationship with God, and he knew he could count on God. And God had given him that assurance at that moment. You say, do you really think David knew? Yes, I do. I believe the Holy Spirit had confirmed that in his heart. But the Holy Spirit hadn't been sent to indwell. That was in the church age. Yes, but in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon his servants and empower them for the ministry and the job that God had chosen for them. And the Spirit of God had come upon this young man, David. And I believe the Spirit just simply told him, I'm going to handle this one. You can trust me. The victory is yours. And this is what, with confidence, you can tell that giant of a man these words. God's own, speaking with great confidence. If we think about someone who struggled with some trials and difficulties, I think eventually we would come to a man, we would come around and think about Job. Don't you think this man faced some trials and difficulties? Well, he sure did. In Job chapter 23, I want you to notice here, we begin at verse 1. Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his ear. What's he saying there? I just wish what? I wish I could sit down and talk with God. Any of you ever express thoughts kind of like that? You know, I just wish that we could sit down face to face. The beauty of it is what, as a believer? We can talk to him, can't we? No, I know we can't see him, but we know he is in our heart and our life through his Holy Spirit who indwells us. He has given us his word, and his Holy Spirit enlightens the truth of his word to our hearts and assures us that God is with us, that our Lord has never left us nor forsaken us. And I can understand exactly what Job is saying here. This is bitter, this is unpleasant. I just wish that I knew where I could just go and talk to him, that I might come even to his, did I say ear? I meant to his seat. I think I might have said, you know, that I just could have an ear. Did I say ear? Well, pardon me. It's seat. If I could just sit down beside him and bend his ear, perhaps. I would order my cause before him, and I would fill my mouth with arguments. I just wish we could talk. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Look at his frustration just a bit. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Boy, Job, it sounds like you don't have much to go on. Don't stop reading. He says, I look for him in every direction. I just wish that I could talk with him, but in every direction I turn, I can't see him, I can't spot him, I can't find him. But verse 10, that's okay, because he knows the way that I take. I don't know what's happening in my life, but what? God does. Such great confidence. There's more with us than with them. Maybe we can't see it, but at the times of our trials, we need to reflect on what we know is what? True. The Assyrians this morning tried to thwart Hezekiah's trust in God. The enemy of our soul, the devil, tries to thwart our trust in God. God doesn't always tell us exactly what's going on, and that's okay. Hopefully, you know the Lord so much that, like Job, you can say, I don't know what he's doing, and I don't know even really how to find him, and I can't explain all that's going on, but he knows, verse 10. He knoweth the way that I take. That'd be a good little one-liner that you could just print out and remind yourself. You'll ever like to stick up things on the mirror so you can see it, or put things in places? That'd be a good one for you to do. But he knoweth the way that I take. And he goes on, he says, when he hath tried me, Job said, I know he is trying me. He is testing me. He is proving me. He has a plan for me. And when he's done, I shall come forth as gold. Does that express your kind of faith and confidence in the Lord? Habakkuk. Now that's a hard one to find, isn't it? Maybe you need to find that index at the front of your Bible. I know I struggle with some of these. Habakkuk, chapter 3. It's between Nahum and Zephaniah. That'll help you out, right? Habakkuk, chapter 3. Listen to the confidence of the prophet in verses 17 through 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olives shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. What's he described here? What have these folks got? They have nothing. And everything that they were counting on has what? Failed. You see, this was an agriculture way of life. Everything that they had, whether it was the produce from the fields, whether it was the livestock, they were looking forward. This was their bread and butter. This was the difference between food to eat, and we don't have anything. This was the difference between failure and success. And in verse 17, he says, when everything fails, and everything that I was looking forward, I was counting on that big tax refund. I was counting on this. I was counting on that. And it didn't pan out. We've all been there, haven't we? Things that we thought were going to be. He says, verse 18, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet or like the feet of a deer, and He will make me to walk over mine high places. Though I don't have anything that I'm counting on outwardly, I know God won't fail me. Well, we could find other expressions of how God's people have had such confidence in the face of danger and loss and hardship. But I want us to look at some assurances for our own benefit. What about you and me? Well, hopefully what we've looked at has already been an encouragement to us. And that's what God's word is, isn't it? Those things we're learning were written for our learning and our admonition. But let's add some more to it as we look at the last part of this evening. Look over here at verse 4 on the wall. Here's some encouragement for us. Here's some words to remind us that we have everything we need. What does verse 4 say? Yea, though I what? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. How? For thou art with me. How can we face some of the hardships and the trials of life? Here's how. We can face them with the realization that we are not what? Alone. We are not going through this by ourselves. God has promised to always be with His own. So that when we find ourselves up against something and it seems like everybody has failed and everybody has bailed out and there is no one nearby that I can count on, we can count on God. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because I know You're with me. I'm not alone, even at that time in my life. Let's look at some other ones. Psalm 46. We have a bunch of references in Psalms. We'll look at these and then we'll close. Psalm 46, I said. We'll get to the ones in a few moments. 46, 1, 2, and 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Where is God when I need Him? He's there. He's a present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar with trouble and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. If you've had your eyes on the news anytime in recent weeks, what's going on in our world? What kinds of things are taking place in various places in the world and even sometimes in our own nation? Tornadoes? Pardon? Floods? Earthquakes? What about terrorist attacks? People going about their business and all of a sudden someone in their midst has walked in with the intention to just bring death and destruction. And we look around and we ask ourselves, what if? Is something like that going to happen? And here's the psalmist. Look, things are deteriorating. We're not going to fear, verse 2. Though the earth be removed. Well, the earth seems like a pretty stable place, doesn't it? Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Those mountains, they've endured for generations and generations, haven't they? He says, it doesn't matter. Our God is a present help, even if someday those mountains are uprooted and cast into the seas. Though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake, we've got God. And you know, Only God knows what's ahead for the American people. What's ahead? How are we going to face it with God? We have everything we need, don't we? We have everything we need with Him. Look at verse 7. How can we face the unknown and possible calamities? Verse 7 and 11 says it all. Here's how. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's not forget that, folks. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I said we were going to be all in the Psalms, but I did have this one. 1 John 4, 4 tells us this. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because... This kind of sounds like what Elisha and Hezekiah told the people. Greater is what? He that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't be afraid. There's more with us than with them. We have that same promise to us as believers in the New Testament age. The Lord God, through the person of His Holy Spirit who dwells within. Let's look at a couple of more references. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? There's confidence. There's everything we need. I have the Lord. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. So of whom should I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. The psalmist says, though an host should encamp against me, like around Jerusalem under Hezekiah's leadership, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I have the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Look at verse 5. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Look at verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And finally, again, we could have spent hours finding words of encouragement. 118 verse 6. Psalm 118 verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. May that be an encouragement to each and every one of us. The Lord is on our side. We don't have to fear. Because the Lord is on our side, we can ask ourselves, what can man do unto me? Well, he could do this, he could do this, he could do this. And to that I say, not if it's not God's will. We are untouchable as far as the hands of the enemy and the designs and the schemes of those that would try to hurt and harm us, unless God allows it. And if He allows it, even though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, He's with us. Let's stand and be dismissed with prayer. Thank you, Father, for these encouraging words. I pray, Lord, that this truth will find a place of a place in our hearts that when we need it most, we will be able to fall back upon these truths. We don't know what you have planned for us, Lord, individually, as a church, as a nation. We know, Lord, that you are in control. We trust you and we want to be faithful, come what may. Thank you that in you we do have everything we need. In your name I pray. Amen.